What I wanted to do tonight, it's obviously a very unusual situation for us. And what I wanted to do was, I wanted to just do a study on what the Bible says about hope, especially in times of trouble. And I sent out a request to everybody this morning to do a little Bible study and to find us some verses that talk about hope. And the one rule was Psalm 23 was off limits because everybody would just pick that one and we wouldn't get past it. So we wanted to have lots of different verses, and we got lots of different verses. So what I'd like to do is to just read these verses and let's talk about them. Let's see what they mean to us. And since we don't have people on the conference call, you won't be able to talk back. So please type your comments. Steven's tracking that and he can bring those up as we go. But there is about a 20-second delay from when you type those comments to when we see them. So just keep that in mind. So we started out this morning. Let me go get my list of people who sent scriptures, and I'm going to start with what Harold sent this morning. He sent Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. So we're going to go to Isaiah. My glasses here, so I can see up close. Isaiah chapter 12, and verse 2, and. It says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation." And that really, says a lot about why we trust God. He's our salvation. He's our strength and he's our song. Let's read a little more of this for context. I'll start back in verse 1. "And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you are angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song, and he also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and in that day you will say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst." I think one of the things that, when I read this verse, this is a situation where they're very happy now, but they had a hard time before. It says, "You were angry with me, but your anger is turned away." Israel, when this was written in Isaiah, Israel went through a lot of ups and downs, right? They had lots of times where they had unrighteous kings, where the people went into idolatry, where God punished them for that. And then they had times when they were righteous, like the time of Isaiah with Hezekiah, where they had a righteous king who was leading them according to God's word. And when we do follow God's word, when we trust him, then we don't need to be afraid. We can trust God. God's going to deliver us. He is in control. So thank you, Harold, for that scripture. That was a great one. Letha sent one in from Psalm 62. So I'll go over there. Psalms number 62 verses 5-8. "My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." So one of the things you always hear where it says, "You are my rock and my salvation," these are things that David had to go through. Remember, we talked about this, I believe, a week ago. When David was being hunted for his life, when Saul was trying to kill him, David and his men would climb up into the mountains and hide in the caves. And the rock that protected them was literally a rock. They were up in a mountain. So then he says, "The Lord is my rock. So whether I'm in the mountains or on the plains, if I'm in danger, I will trust on the Lord, for he is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved." We have a song that we sing about, "I shall not be moved." That's where some of that comes from. Kenny Cox has one from Isaiah 41. So we're going to go over to Isaiah 41. And he says, verse 10. Oops, I got to get to Isaiah 41. There we go. All right. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know, we have a song, we sang it, I think, last Sunday. Fear not, I am with you, or be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will still give you aid. That's where that comes from, is from this verse. And all the time, God tells us not to fear, not to be afraid. Now, there are things that we are to fear, and that's what Stephen had in his lesson last week, where he was talking about fearing God and respecting God, and to learn to hear and to fear, to know that God is serious and that he is Lord and he is master, and we have to obey him. But here he's talking about, I'm your God. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to strengthen you, and I'm going to uphold you. So that gives us a lot of confidence. Let me see what else I have here on my, I've got three or four lists here, so I'm going to go through this one list. So Tim Potter shared with us 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. So let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Oh yeah, this is one of my favorites too. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. What was the end of that? It was verse 4. Yeah, I read on. So this is one of those, I think this scores the points for the most time that the word comfort is used in a verse. But listen to what it's saying. He's the God of all comfort. He gives us comfort in all of our troubles, but notice there's a reason. Part of it is to just give us comfort because he loves us. We're his children, and he doesn't like us to feel stressed and worried. But notice why he comforts us, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So God is training us in our times of trouble when we trust in him. When he comforts us, he's training us how to comfort others. And we see that all around us today, don't we? We've got people who are so worried and so scared and just fretting all over the place. And, you know, we see it on the news, and of course there's a lot of hype on the news, but there's a lot of really worried and upset people out there, and people who are really afraid. And for us to be able to say, hey, God's in control. I know it's difficult right now, but God's in control. And I have hope that transcends this virus and transcends any trouble that I can have in this world. And it's that comfort that I could share with you. That's the kind of thing we can say to people who are really stressed out about this, and say, you know, when you're focused on God and you're focused on heaven, then no matter what happens to you here on earth, you're going to be okay. And whatever happens, no matter how hard it is, God's going to give us strength and he's going to help us through it. So I'll go to the next one here. We have one here from either Dan or Lynn. I know Dan and Lynn both sent ones here, so I don't know which one this came from. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Boy, that's such a peaceful, calming kind of thought. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, that's what God promises us to help us when we're stressed, is to come to him and he'll give us rest. One of the easiest ways to do that when we're upset and we're stressed or we're worried is to spend some time in prayer. You know, sometimes people, when they pray, they feel like they've got to have a really organized kind of statement they're making. But, you know, you can just talk to God like he's your next door neighbor or your friend or your spouse. You can just talk to him. You can say, God, I've had a bad day, or I'm really worried. I'm worried about my grandson, or whatever it happens to be. You can just talk to him. He's listening, and he appreciates you being honest and open with him. Let's see what else we have here. I've got several more of these. Let's see what I can find. I have that comment. Nope. Okay. I'm going to go to my other list here, which is the list of text messages that we got today. So one of them I'm going to do, where is it? So our sister Rebecca sent a whole list of things. She kind of got a concordance out and sent us a whole list of scriptures. And that's a good thing to do when you're studying and trying to learn these things, because it's a great source of information. There was one of these. Let me see if I can find it now. There was one of these that I wanted to share. It was Genesis 5, verse 29. Let's go over there. Let's go to Genesis chapter 5. Verse 29. And I'm going to back up to verse 28. Lamech lived 182 years, and he had a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." Now, this is talking about the birth of Noah, Noah and the ark of Noah. And yet, notice that his father, when his son was born and he named him Noah, said, "This one will comfort us." Do you think God had a plan? You know, the interesting thing about this is it says, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. We know when that happened, right? That happened in the Garden of Eden. That happened after Adam and Eve sinned. And God told Adam, he said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. It will no longer bring forth its fruit. In painful toil you will have to work, and the sweat you'll eat by the sweat of your brow until you return to the dust where you came." And here, Lamech, when Noah was just a baby, said, "This is God's plan for comfort. This is how we're going to get past the curse." And what happened was, when God saved Noah and his family because of Noah's faithfulness and righteousness and building the ark and obeying God, he brought him to a new earth that had been cleansed of all evil and wickedness. And he gave him that gift. So Noah was the comforter, but God knew that all along. God knew that before Noah was even born. So you think maybe he knows how to comfort us? He knows what our future already is? Sure he does. Let's go look at another one. Over here and find it where it came through. Psalm 116. Psalms 116. This is one from Dan. If we had two-way audio, I'd have you read it, Dan, because I love hearing you read scripture. Oops, what did I get wrong here? I got the wrong thing. Psalm 116. There we go. "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosened my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. This is a great example of somebody being thankful for the trouble they got through. You know, when you hear this and it says in verse 3, the pains of death surrounded me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. Sheol there is the Hebrew word for the grave. And so he's saying, I was almost dead. I was almost dead. And all I had was trouble and sorrow, and you rescued me. That's the kind of thing we can expect from God. He will do that for us. We'll get another one here. John 16:33. These things, is Jesus talking, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In another place, Jesus says in John, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And of course we have, let me see, we'll do Psalms 37. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious the workers of iniquity, for they will be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You know, sometimes we think about comfort and we can look up all the good comfort verses, but peace is one of those things that gives me a lot of comfort. I think I've said this several times this year. One of the things that I pray a lot when Sarah and I are praying together is I thank God for peace in my home. It's a great blessing to have peace in the home. And, you know, I know some of us don't have peace in our homes. You know, we have difficult situations with people who we live with, people who might not be Christians or are having a really hard time. And it's a great blessing to have peace. But God will give you peace even when the situations you're in are not peaceful. And of course, here's one, Psalm 23, which I said no one else could use. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, this psalm has been read so many times and studied and preached on and taught so many times. But every time when I think of it, I think about being that sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, we're the sheep of his flock. There's one place where he says, do not fear, little flock. You know, you can think of a shepherd who loves and cherishes every little lamb, every sheep in his flock. That's how Jesus feels about us. That's how much he loves us. And he's going to treat us that way. He's going to make sure that we're not hungry, and that we're protected, that we're not thirsty, that we're going to get all the spiritual support that we need, and that eternity with God is waiting for us. He's preparing that. All right. Let me see if I can find another one here, and then I think we'll wrap up, and Stephen, you can present a lesson.
Sam?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Carla
has sent a message and says that she's right now struggling with what happened, she said, to Peanuts in North Carolina when she was up here. She feels that she's hurt, that she has so many emotions, and it just feels like it's been her whole life. So, I don't know.
Well, let's talk about that. That's an example of the kind of struggles we have. So Peanuts, who we're talking about here, is her grandson. And Carla lived with her grandson here while she was here with us. And the situation started out, was doing okay, and it kind of got worse, very difficult. So when you're dealing with situations like that and you have a hard time in the situation you're in, one of the things that I always love what Gilbert used to teach us, you know, he used to teach this when he taught Job. You know, he said, Job had the worst time anyone could imagine, and he didn't deserve any of it. And God says it. He says, you didn't deserve any of this. But what Gilbert used to say, it was, God tests the best. You know, God's not going to put you in a situation beyond which that you're able to bear. The scripture tells us that. Does that mean we're not going to have any hard times? Nope. In fact, what does the scripture tell us? All those who would be godly, who would live godly, shall suffer persecution. So we can expect it to come. Now, it hurts and it's hard, but that's why we have to lean on God and lean on our brothers and sisters. I'm so thankful for the time, Carla, that you were able to be with us and to live here with us and to worship with us and to work with us, because you were a worker. You were always helping get stuff done. And even though your health wasn't very great and you were having all that stress at home, you were a great blessing to us here. And we're thankful that, you know, you're in a better place right now. You're in a safer place right now. And that we're very thankful that you're able to be with us. We miss you. But I think that's where we have to go. You know, you think about all those Psalms where David is crying out to God, you know, he's just saying, it's terrible. My enemies are about to kill me. You know, it's like I've got lions or bulls all around me, and dogs are all around me. It's just like they're all trying to tear me to pieces. And he's really suffering. And through the end of that, he'll even say sometimes, he'll cry out to God, and he'll say, God, save me. You know, why are you so far from me? Of course, God is never far from any of us. But sometimes it can feel that way when we're really stressed out with bad things happening. But you know what? In every one of those Psalms, toward the end of it, David says the same thing. He says, but I will wait on the Lord. I will trust in my rock and my salvation. Even though I'm having a terrible time right now, you know, that I'm going to trust in God and he's going to bring me through it. And of course, we know David was. God brought him through and blessed him. But whenever we go through difficult times and whenever we have a hard situation we're dealing with, remember that you're never alone. God is always with you. And that situation, no matter how hard it is not too hard for you and God to get through. But be sure to remember your brothers and sisters, because that's why we're here. That's why we're not just instantly transported to heaven when we come out of the baptistry. We're here to work. We're here to spread the gospel, to lead others to Christ like we were led. And we're here to help each other get there. And that means to get through all of our troubles. So lean on your brothers and sisters. Call us, talk to us. I don't think there's anybody on this call right now who wouldn't be happy for you to give them a call sometime and say, man, I need to talk. I need some encouragement. You know, pray with me, or let's just read the Bible together. Just let me vent. You know, just let me tell you about how bad I'm hurting right now. We do that all the time for each other, and we should, because that's how we love each other and help each other make it. So, Stephen, I'm going to stop there.
Okay. Both Dan and Kathy Holmes have expressed their love for Carla on the feed as well. Dan says, we miss you and love you, Carla. And Kathy says, I miss you, Carla, and I've been praying for you. Love you. So It's great that we can get that kind of encouragement from our fellow Christians, even from so far away.
Yep. Yep.